Item number 10704 is a $27,245 abatement, and that is for PHM Providence.
Correct. So there's two properties. Just want to make sure I got the right one. You're talking the first one, parcel 323, lot 294, correct?
You got me. I'm just looking at item reference number 10704. It's PHM Providence LLC, and the abatement is $27,245.
Yes. So this was the former Radisson Hotel, okay, which was previously leased by Johnson & Wales. So there were some challenges for the new owner. PHM Providence purchased the property in conjunction with the Legal Seafoods adjacent to it, which is the next item on the abatement list as well. And they sold together as a package. They also had an appraisal that they presented to the board. They had an opinion of value of $4.6 million for the hotel. I pointed out a few problems they had with their appraisal and how I felt that was undervaluing the property. And so that is reflective of the fact that it's really, you know, prior to COVID, now there's certainly some more challenges for hotels, but there's an absorption period. So when it went from the exempt organization being run not for profit, they don't have the same motivations to try to fill up and get the same occupancy and that stuff. So there's an absorption grow-in period, basically, that a new owner would have to go through. And I felt that that was the difference between what their appraisal reflected and what I felt the city should value the property at. But that's an adjustment that was, you know, done by the Board of Review as well.
And my last question on the last page, I don't see a reference number either for this item, but it's an abatement of $46,483. Do you have a reference number for that? The property category is 318-0215-0000. Who is that owner of that property and what is the reference number?
Okay, so the first line you're looking at, this is a problem with the Munis report. So the 318-215 parcel number goes with the prior page, and that's the George Topolian Trust.
Okay.
So, but the abatement for 46,000 is for WC Partners, which is Warwick Commons on Baldwin
Road. Okay, got it. So tell us about that.
So that was a property, typically when we look at the value of retail plazas, we look at how much land is necessary to support those improvements. And the land allocation to that is heavily factored into the analysis. On this particular property, just after the building, there's a little bit of paving for access around the backside. But then you've got a wetland area where they can't touch, they can't build, they can't do anything. But when we looked at the assessment, there was no difference in the value for that land that was on the other side of the wetlands or the land that supports the actual physical plaza. So again, we had the property owner produce some documentation. And at that point, the board reduced the value to reflect the wetlands on that property.
Okay. Thank you, Director. And once again, I gotta commend you on your thoroughness in making these each and every one of these individual assessments. I think that the rationale that and the reasoning that you apply to these abatements, I'm sure I'm speaking for all of my colleagues as well as the administration, is greatly appreciated. And you certainly present it to me in a manner that there's no doubt in my mind it's fair and equitable for everybody. So once again, I compliment you and your staff and the administration for that.
Thank you, that's what I'm here for.
Thank you. Before I ask for any comments from members of the committee, I know that there is a significant amount of items here. There are some larger items that I've already ask questions about, but is there any item, this is to the members of the committee, is there any item that anyone would like to have a separate PCR number on, or is everyone content with what we see in the explanations that we've received. I'm fine with it. I just want to know what my colleagues are. Councilman Howe, you're all set? Okay, Councilman McAllister? Councilman McAllister is all set too. Okay. Any other comments from members of the committee? Any questions, comments? Any members of the, sir?
Okay, I have a question.
Go ahead, Councilman.
On page five, there is a something for North Star Aviation where there is a $10,634 adjustment. Can you explain that?
Yes, there was a court case that goes back, again, well before I got here. I believe it was in 2013. At least that's when the settlement agreement was dated. So there was about a $300,000 credit that was given to North Star Aviation. This is a company that had tangible personal property located at the airport. And as a result of the appeal, it was determined that they should not have been taxed for those items. It was an ownership issue between the airport corporation and the property owner themselves. So to their credit, they offered to have the city exhaust their overpayment over a series of years. And so we strictly don't tax them for certain items going forward. So you'll see we now have a settlement credit definition for the abatement. These are some motor vehicles that got through that did not get picked up on. I was aware that this was a tangible appeal, so we made sure the tangible credits got applied since I got here, but I was not aware that they were being taxed for their motor vehicles. So once they got the notification that their vehicle registrations were being held up, we took care of that, so not to worry. They still have about $200,000 worth of tax credit, not value, but so it's gonna be a long time before they've actually exhausted all of their credit. And again, they were willing to let the city, you know, hold that money for them with no interest being charged. So I give them credit for that as well.
When you say that it's personal property, would first thing that comes to mind to me is an airplane. Is that something that was part of this?
No, and again, this is before me, so I don't have a thorough understanding of it, but from what I understand, it was the leasehold improvements. So typically when a company is over at the airport, they'll be responsible to build out their own space, their own counters, all that interior. So the walls, the flooring, the carpeting, the ceiling, air conditioning, that kind of thing, was being taxed for them as a leasehold improvement. In reality, they were not the owner of that equipment because under the terms of the lease, that equipment or portions of the building, the ownership of that reverted back to the airport corporation upon termination of the lease. Again, this was all done through the courts. I wasn't part of it. I'm just relaying what I read in the documents.
That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Neil. Any other questions from members of the council? Councilman Snappy.
I need a PCO on the last one just due to conflict.
When you say the last one, you're talking about the
very abatement? Last one on the list, yeah.
Okay. Just let me get back to that. That would be on White William R. in the amount of $1,487.16.
Yep.
Is that the one, Councilman?
Yes.
Okay. So, Madam Clerk, is that 6320?
It's PCR 6320.
Thank you. So, the reference number 10732 for William R. White, W-H-I-T-E, the third, in the amount of $1,487.16 will become PCR 6320. Okay, so do we have any other questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Okay, first I'll need a motion on PCR 5520.
I move favorable action.
We have a motion favorable. Do we have a second?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Next, I need a motion on PCR 6320.
Mr. Chairman, I see one of the attendees has their hand up. Is that a question?
Oh, sorry. Okay. Thank you, Councilman. The attendee, would you please identify yourself for the record, please?
Yeah, this is Roger.
Oh, yes, Roger.
I have a question for the gentleman. He referred to pre-COVID and post-COVID properties. Can he explain why are we going to have a negative impact on real estate in the city next week, next year because of post-COVID? Maybe he can elaborate on that for me.
Neil, would you please address that?
Absolutely. So because a lot of the properties that we have within the city were severely affected by COVID, I do expect we will see an increase in the number of appeals. However, based on my 30 years experience with working with the statutes and the way they're worded, I don't think that any of those appeals will be successful because COVID did not affect the market in any way till at least the beginning of 2020. So the assessments were done on December 31st, 2019. And at that point, there was no COVID known. So there was definitely no impact in the market that would be reflected in the assessments. So I do think we might have some extra litigation expense because these properties, such as the hotels, the restaurants, the hospitality industry altogether, a lot of the retail properties have been severely impacted. And I have had conversations internally, and I think we're going to try to get out in front of that and work together with multiple departments and through the administration and the mayor's office, try to assist these property owners in any way we can. But from an assessment standpoint, I don't think it will have any impact.
Well, just one other follow-up on that. What happens if one of these hotels, restaurants go bankrupt? Isn't it that much more difficult for you to collect the money?
Well, what happens is, and take aside the fact that we're going to try to work with them and do everything possible. But what typically happens with real estate is we will be made whole in one way or another at some point in time. Now, some people might not be able to pay because of a bankruptcy, and we might have to have a tax sale on certain property. But eventually, typically, either through the tax sale process or working out a payment plan, we typically will be made whole on real estate. That's not the case on personal property and motor vehicles, but real estate it is typically the case.
But that will impact on 99% we're projecting for next year for collection rate, correct?
Well, it may in the short term, but again, over the period of time, eventually a property, if they can't pay, is going to go up for tax sale and that money will come into the city. It might be delayed. That might be something that Lynn could address if there's a cash flow issue. But this is something new to everyone. We're going to have to analyze it, stay on top of it, and watch it and make sure the money coming in is sufficient enough to provide the city services and take appropriate action from there. But I haven't been involved in any of those conversations. I'm sure Lynn and the mayor's office have.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Director. Okay, so we have a motion. We have favorable action on PCR 5520. I now need a motion on PCR 60-20. I'm sorry, we already have comments from the public. Any other comments from the public? Hearing none, I need a motion on PCR 6320.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you. Motion passes. PCR 1120, ordinance regards to approving the financing of design, construction, repair, rehabilitation, equipping, and extension of the city's sewage collection system. For first passage, Councilman Howe.
For first, you mean for discussion? I'm sorry.
For discussion, yes.
Thank you. This is something that came forward. I apologize, Mr. Chairman. Give me one second. I just want to pull up the right page. I got quite a few pages opened on my computer right here.
Sure.
And this is for, just to verify it, the Airport Oakland Beach Interceptors?
I think it's for more than that. It's an ordinance of the City of Warwick approving the financing of the design, construction, repair, rehabilitation, equipping, and extension of the city's Through Ridge Collective System.
Excellent.
Including but not limited to the interceptors, trunk lines, pumps, manholes, and pipes and design, feasibility, engineering, and assessments, or other suitedities which may be necessary or desirable in connection therewith, and approving the issuance of the sewer system revenue bonds and notes, therefore, in an amount not to exceed $7 million.
You just said it, so I'm good. No, I'm only kidding. I have a couple things. This is obviously, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is obviously something over the last, I'd say, 30 years, give or take, there our sewer systems, our systems have been basically ignored. They've been corroded. There have been overestimations on the usage of these systems. I know over on Cedar Swamp here in Warwick, one of the big issues we ran into, as you know, right outside Pump Station 5, there was a collapse. And the reason for the collapse is that the odors and the gases were corroding the piping. For years, this was a concern that needed to be addressed, and it was ignored from the previous administration. I remember meeting with the previous administration and their public works director, Picozzi, and basically told, you know, it's all under control, don't worry about it. As soon as the last administration left, and the DPW director Picozzi also left with the last administration, he retired, there was a sinkhole on Sandy Lane that shut down Sandy Lane, and we had to re-divert traffic through the DPW yard. What this is doing is this is preventing the corrosion. This the improper maintenance from years gone by, the corrosion in the pipes that has been compromised from the year gone by, and improper planning of the years gone by with all our interceptors upon the sewage. The pipes are in a critical stage and they have to be addressed. And what the sewer authority is doing is being proactive and taking the steps needed to address this so there are no more sinkholes, no more collapses like what happened at the pump station, and no more trying to fix something that should have been taken care of over the course of time that was quite honestly in the last administration completely and utterly ignored. I asked the council to consider, and I believe that Earl Bond is here. He'll answer any questions. But I ask that they consider and listen to what has to be done, and let's be proactive moving forward. Councilwoman Travis, Mr. Chair, Councilwoman Travis is also a co-director of this, a co-sponsor of this motion, and I would respectfully ask if she has anything to say through the chair.
Absolutely.
Thank
Councilwoman
you,
Travis. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I'll try to get on. Yes, I really would love to see this go favorable action. We definitely don't need what happened on Sandy Lane to happen any other places. I know this boat affects Councilman Howell and myself in two different locations, but the piping is very bad, as Earl Bond will tell you, and it's going to affect so many people in our ward. And if we can go forward, at least we have that prevention. So I would like to see it go forward, favorable action.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Director Earl Bond, you have anything to add to this? You're on mute.
How's that?
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Yeah, I'd like to give you a brief history on these interceptors. So we'll talk about the airport interceptor first. The airport interceptor was installed when the contract 2 and 3 of the sewer authority, as they began the build out. It's a 48-inch mainline gravity interceptor that receives wastewater from the north and south end of the city. We have approximate daily flow of 3.5 million gallons a day going through this pipe. Although that may seem a lot of flow, it's actually not for the size of the pipe. And the system, over a period of years, that system and interceptor being installed 60 years ago, has been subjected to hydrogen sulfide. Hydrogen sulfide is a gas that is created in sewerage that once it leaves the sewerage in a soluble form to a gaseous state, breaks down and turns into hydrogen sulfide, sulfuric acid that'll rot and corrode the pipes. So we did a condition assessment on this interceptor, And we were able to see several areas of this interceptor where the actual rebar is exposed throughout the system. And there's supposed to be about 2.5 to 3 inches of concrete on the inside of the diameter of the pipe before you see the rebar. And some of these videos actually show where the rebar is exposed. And also, if you really look closely, you could put your hand behind the rebar. This pipe is about 6,100 linear feet in length and needs to be completely rehabilitated. Has three critical pinch points located on the infrastructure, which is Post Road, the railroad tracks, and down the center of Jefferson Boulevard and Service Way. Any one of those failures will result in a severe disruption of service, as well as an environmental non-compliance. The second interceptor that's on for tonight is the Oakland Beach interceptor. Everybody will be aware of what the Oakland Beach interceptor is. That's the pipe that failed at Cedar Swamp and on Sandy Lane. That pipe begins as a 20-inch diameter pipe on Albert Road, goes behind Warwick Vets, down Hurley and Armory, down the center of Sandy Lane, takes a right at fire dispatch and into the back of DPW, down by Range Road, and dumps in at Cedar Swamp. Pipe ranges in diameter from 20 inch to 24 to 36 inch. And over the years, everybody knows that we had a failure on that pipe. Sandy Lane's been relined using a cured in place product, and also behind Vets has been relined. So we're looking at rehabilitating the rest of these interceptors before we experience another collapse.
Any other questions from members of the committee? I'm going to reserve my comments for a moment. Any comments or questions from members of the council? Do we have any comments or questions?
I have questions.
Councilman Qualley, please.
I have a question concerning the interest rate and term of the loan or the bond.
Okay, well, Councilman, what we're doing right now is we're asking for a bond authorization from the city council. Once we get that bond authorization, we're going to be able to apply for a bond, and we don't have an answer to that because we're not in that process.
Okay, and why is it that I know the sewer authority is an enterprise fund and separate, but first cousin, I guess, to the city. Why doesn't the Warwick Sewer Authority go directly to the infrastructure bank for this?
The policies and procedures that are in place, the city council has to provide the authorization for us to borrow a revenue bond.
Okay, and why is it not going out to the bond market in general and simply going to the infrastructure bank? Why isn't it going to be a competitive process?
So again, the Rhode Island Infrastructure Bank provides low interest bonds to do projects such as this. The system that's in place will aids us, and we're able to borrow that money from the Rhode Island Infrastructure Bank at a significantly reduced cost.
Okay, and the repayment on this bond is going to be passed on to the users of the Warwick Sewer Authority, is that correct?
So the bond is going to be paid for by debt service coming off of our books. So there's going to be no increase in rates for any of the ratepayers to address this critical infrastructure.
Okay, well, where are you going to get the money to pay for the bond if it's not going to be coming from the people that are using the sewer authority?
So again, we have bonds and assessment revenue that's coming off of our books. I'm sorry, debt load that's coming off of our books. So we're going to reinvest that into our critical infrastructure.
Okay. The sewer authority exists pursuant to the general laws, and I think it's chapter 46-12.2. I have a question that there is some language in section E that says that the bond and notes shall be paid solely from the revenues of the sewer system, including not limited to annual charges, sewer assessment, and the phrase that causes me some concern is connect capable charges. My understanding of the law is that there are no connect capable charges. So why is that language in this ordinance?
So you are correct. There is no connect capable charge, but we don't know down the road if we would ever implement a connect capable charge. The bond resolution states the bonds and notes shall be payable solely from the revenues of the city sewer system. That's up and including what those revenues are.
Right, but you just said that it wasn't going to be paid by the users, but this language says the annual charges, sewer assessments will be, and potential connect capable charges in the future would be part of the sewer revenues paying. So can you explain the difference?
I didn't say that. What I said is that language is in there should we ever need to revisit a connect capable charge, which I personally don't see us doing that.
Okay. Also in 2016, when they amended the WSA Enabling Act, there was supposed to be two more members added to the WSA board. Can you tell me what the status of that is?
So I was not in this position in 2016. And right now we have five board members currently serving.
But you are in charge of it now. And if the Enabling Act says that you're supposed to have two more members.
Councilman Qualley, excuse me for interrupting.
Okay.
While I appreciate your question, I do not see where that question comes into play on this particular item that we are discussing right now. So I don't see anything in this particular item that speaks to the assignment to the sewer authority. If you would like to request that the director provide us with that answer in a separate email, I think that would certainly be.
That's fair, and I can live with that. I will contact him directly. The last question I have is the last paragraph in this resolution talks about a continuing disclosure certificate. Can you explain to me what that is? Because it seems to be very important concerning the city's obligation concerning the bond.
So, Councilman, I'll have to get back to you with an answer on that. Bond Council wrote the resolution, so I'd have to contact the Bond Council to get an answer.
Does the Warwick Sewer Authority have its own Bond Council, or are you using the city services for that?
So the Bond Council is Karen Grande, and we've been utilizing her for years.
Is she the same Bond Council that the city uses? Is this something that is the responsibility and the fee for her services would be paid by the sewer authority?
It is the same bond council that the city uses.
And who's paying for it?
The sewer authority.
Okay. Can I just have a second? Well, in reading the last two sentences, it says that the city is making an agreement that's basically controlled by the continuing disclosure certificate. So without knowing what the continuing disclosure certificate has to do with the terms, it's very difficult to consider passing something like this. So is there some way you can get that information to us quickly?
I can get that information to you, Councilman, but I will advise you and everyone else that this is critical infrastructure and it needs to be repaired. It's been, the can's been kicked down the road for many years from the prior leadership team here in administration. And we have now taken a proactive approach to begin to address and plan to repair the infrastructure. It's long overdue. It can't wait any longer. And it's not a matter of if, it's, in my opinion, it's a matter of when we'll experience another pipe collapse.
I understand that we have problems with the infrastructure of the sewer authority. I'm not blaming decisions that you have made, but the people that end up ultimately paying for that are the taxpayers in Warwick and the users of the Warwick Sewer Authority. So,
and again, I'll agree with you, Councilman. And if we have another pipe collapse, the rate payers are going to be paying a lot more money than if we were to realign that. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're moving forward to protect the rate payers and the taxpayers in the city of Warwick.
I'm not saying that's a bad idea. What I'm saying is, without knowing what the terms of the agreement are, which are controlled by the disclosure certificate, I am not being informed of information that I need in order to be able to act on it.
Well, Councilman, again, to advise everyone on this council, you're being informed that this infrastructure is at a critical stage. And to kick the can down the road, because we don't know or we're not sure what the definition of a language is reckless. And we need to move this forward. The language in the bond resolution is common language used.
Excuse me, Councilman Cawley. I need to interject here. So, Director, I hear your communication and your emphasis and your tonality regarding critical infrastructure, the possibilities of failure, collapse, the cost to the taxpayers, how critical this document is and this resolution is to be passed. And as the director of the sewer authority, who is the speaker to this language, I would expect you to have the definition to something that is critical within its content. And that particular line right there, failure of the city to comply with the continuing disclosure certificate shall not be considered an event of default. However, any bondholder, blah, blah, blah. I would think that it would be compelling upon you as the director of the sewer authority to know the definition of a line item that's in this particular document that you have referred to on numerous occasions as critical, as must be passed now, displaying a sense of urgency, et cetera, et cetera. And I have to concur with Councilman Cawley that I think all of us are entitled to know what that item means. Now,
and again, Councilman.
So, excuse me, Director. I will let you, have your say when I finish. Having said that, I'm more than happy to sit here for a few minutes in recess for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and perhaps the chief of staff or someone else, or your legal counsel, can provide us with a definition as to what that means, to ask us to vote on something where you as director do not know what the definition of that means or what the implication of that means. For me, I have a difficult problem with voting on that. If you don't know, how are we supposed to know?
Excuse me, Chairman. No, if I may, I'm looking at prior authorizations of this, and it appears
Councilman
regularly.
Councilman Sinapi, right now my conversation is directed to Director Earl. I will afford
If you prefer, I can utilize parliamentary procedure to have the opportunity to interrupt you, or you could politely allow me to say something that could help you. One or the other.
You can, right? You want to do what, please?
Either I will use parliamentary procedure to interrupt you rudely, or you can allow me to do it in the polite way, in which I am trying to do now. I'm trying to assist you.
Okay, great. Would you like to assist me after Earl Bond responds to my questions to him? Or would you like to assist
me? No, it potentially renders it moot.
Okay, go ahead.
This phrase that everyone's concerned with, and I don't blame you, it's a phrase that could seem scary. I'm looking at our ordinances, and this appears regularly in every single one I can find on our ordinances. So it seems to be boilerplate, and my experience with bond counsel with the school department stuff is it is in fact boilerplate, and they often don't necessarily have a definition handy because it's so boilerplate.
Okay, well, you know, thank you for your input on that. I am not an attorney, nor have I seen this provision in other items that we have been voting on or presented, and due to the fact that I am not an attorney, I am not familiar with the legalese of some of these definitions, and I have criticized other people for voting on things that they have no clue what that item contains or the definition of that particular item. I want to know what it means. So to say it's standard boilerplate procedure, that might be acceptable to an attorney and someone that is licensed to practice law and has a full understanding of these legalese, but I do not. So I am going to defer to our counsel solicitor, and I am going to ask him if he has a definition of what failure to comply with the continuing disclosure certificate. What is a distinguishing closer disclosure certificate? Mr. Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would preface this with, while I am a licensed attorney of this state and many others, I am not a practicing bond counsel. So I would caution that at the outset. However, preliminary research on the issue seems to tie this back to protocols within the Securities and Exchange Commission's Rule 15C2-12, which requires them as part of this process to receive these certain protocols as part of the authorizations to issue these bonds. That said, I would offer that in the context of preliminary research, and I would note that bond counsel Karen Grandy is the appropriate person to answer this question more fully.
So, having said that, we still are not provided with a definition of what a continuing disclosure certificate means. Is that correct? Bill, I'm asking you that question.
I'm continuing some research, but at this point in time, I do not have that definition available at my hand to provide to you or the committee.
Okay, so seeing that this is a bond counsel resolution, and it was disclosed by Director Bond that the bond counsel put up this language, drew up this resolution, is anyone from the bond counsel here attending this meeting that can give us the definition of a continuing disclosure certificate? Is there anyone from the bond counsel here or attending this Zoom meeting, particularly, especially because they drew up this document by testimony of Director Earl? Is it anyone from the bond counsel here?
I can read hearing, you definitions hearing, of it. Hearing, would you like me to?
Hearing none, is there Chief of Staff, would you be able to give us a definition on what a continuing disclosure certificate is as it applies to this bond request? Okay, I guess not. Councilman Sinapi, you offered to provide a definition for as it pertains to this particular bond request.
Seems to connect with what Attorney Walsh stated. Continuing disclosure certificate means that certain contractual undertaking executed by the municipality in connection with the issuance of the refunding bonds pursuant to paragraph B5 of Rule 15C2-12 adopted by the Securities and Exchange Commission under the Securities and Exchange Act of 1934, dated as the date of issuance of the refunding bonds as amended from time to time in accordance with provisions thereof. But I would 1,000% defer to Attorney Walsh for the obvious reasons.
Councilman Sinapi, could you repeat the first sentence or two of what you just read?
Continuing disclosure certificate means that certain contractual undertaking executed by the municipality in connection with the issuance of the refunding bonds pursuant to paragraph B5 of Rule 15C2-12 adopted by the Securities and Exchange Commission under the Securities and Exchange.
Okay, that's the part that I needed to hear. I do know in my previous experience dealing with the attorneys in another life that the protocol in the legal perspective, and again, I'm not an attorney, I'm not pretending to be or practicing, I'm just going by my experience in dealing with attorneys. When certain issues came up, such as the wording in contracts, et cetera, such as certain contractual requirements or whatever followed those two words, certain contractual, the legal profession typically will require or refer to other sections of law that define certain contractual needs or requirements. Typically in a legal case or any type of depositions, et cetera, an attorney for one side or the other would certainly insist on a definition of certain contractual items, requirements, referrals. So what is certain contractual requirements? What is it that the city is going to be obligated to do under certain contractual requirements? Do we have the answer to that?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Councilman Howell, I'll recognize you one more, please. I'm seeing if I can get an answer to this.
Yes, sir.
Okay, hearing no answer, I'm going to assume that we don't have an answer. Councilman Howe.
Mr. Chairman, like you, not a lawyer, but from the onset of on line 8, section H, it looks like this entire paragraph, as Councilman Sinapi stated, my understanding of it from looking at it is basic common language having to do with SEC as referred by Councilman Sinapi and is identifying. So this is like the basic, like when you take out a mortgage on a house, you have to sign, there's like 100 documents. 90% of it is the contractual. When you have a credit card and they send you the new privacy, it's paragraph upon paragraph upon paragraph. This to me looks like the repetitive SEC rule of this item. I do want to say that I am still going to urge and encourage recommendation and then a vote to the council on this because of the safety needs. I do take in consideration, and actually if you through the chairman, may I ask Councilman Sinapi a question, sir?
Sir, absolutely.
Thank you, Councilman Sinapi. Councilman Sinapi?
I'm listening.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. So you're saying that on this, with all the other bonds or all the other bonds and all the other stuff you've put forward, this one paragraph seems to be a repetitive paragraph when it comes to the SEC rules?
Yeah, like section 66-4 of our ordinances when it came to Governor Francis O'Donnell Hill and everything else. I see the paragraph right, and actually paragraph H, just like here, comply with a continuing disclosure certificate. So it seems to be repeated throughout our ordinances. Whether or not it appears in school bond stuff, I'm not sure, but I see it in sewer bond stuff. What I was speaking on as far as boilerplate was in regards to bond council and my prior interactions with them.
So if I may ask you one more question, Councilman, looking at this, does it seem to you, and also I welcome the solicitor as well, does this seem to you from reading it, from what I'm understanding it as, this is the understanding that is needed in the document for the SEC? This is more of a federally mandated, I'm not saying, I don't know if it's legally needed, but a federally mandated common stamp. I know that's a dangerous term to use, but common stamp used for anything put on bonds that the SEC, where the federal government basically says, you know, you are responsible and it's hands off and there are certain guidelines for this.
I mean, I'm not allowed to provide legal advice in this regard. I can only tell you what Google says. And Google says that this is common and appears frequently, as does its reference disclosure obligations in the CFR as well. And basically speaking, I know Councilman Lattiser is rightfully concerned as far as what does it mean from the perspective of what does it mean we owe, but the ordinance itself seems to say what our obligations are. We have to pay back a sum of money within a certain time frame. I mean, it's pretty straightforward from that perspective. I get that it uses legalese, and I don't blame him for being concerned, because legalese is, to put it lightly, quite a bit of a pain in my life as well. What I might suggest going forward on separate bills, ones where I don't have time as a factor for the safety perspective, is you can ask your bond counsel to put definitions of things at the beginning. I mean, you guys see that all the time, I imagine, where you'll see a statute that says, by the way, here's a definition of these things as they appear below. That way, even if it's not us here voting on things, we don't have these questions and we don't potentially block something that's needed time-wise.
Thank you. So, Mr. Chairman, I would recommend, again, as I'm reading it from what Councilman Sinapi, understanding it was a online search, and also understanding that this was written by a bonds counsel. I know that when this was forwarded, it came from the bond counsel to the solicitor's office, from the solicitor's office to me when I put into docket this. I'm confident, again, I'm going to request, Mr. Chairman, that we move forward on this for the safety. We can't kick the can any further. It's our job to be proactive. We already know all the issues that we ran into. I'm going to recommend and I'm going to push for a favorable action, and I ask that the body of the council do the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. So I'm going to read something to you again, starting on line 5 at section H. It says, the mayor and the city treasurer and the chairperson of the Warwick Sewer Authority are authorized to take all actions necessary to comply with federal tax and security laws, including rule 15C2-12 of the Securities and Exchange Commission, parenthesis, the SEC rule, and to execute and deliver a continuing disclosure certificate in connection with the bonds or notes in the form as shall be deemed advisable by the mayor, et cetera. How can you vote for something you don't know what it means? We do not know. It says, and to execute and deliver a continuing disclosure certificate in connection with the bonds. That is a significant statement. It is a significant charge. And we don't know what that definition means. We don't even know what the hell a continuing disclosure certificate is. And what we don't know is we don't know what is the ramifications to the city, to the sewer authority, to the taxpayers, and to the ratepayers of the sewer authority if we don't comply with something that we don't even know what it contains. So, having said that, let me be clear. I absolutely understand the need for this. I understand the significance of it. I have 880 people in Bayside 1, 2, and 3 that desperately need sewers and been waiting for sewers for almost 8 years. I understand that this $7 million isn't just for interceptors or trunk lines, but not limited to interceptors, trunk lines, et cetera. I absolutely support the concept of this. I support the necessity of it. I do not necessarily agree that it should be paid for only by the clients or customers of the sewer authority, but I do understand the need for what it is. I also understand the reasoning why these collapses have occurred. And it was said that the usage was overestimated. I disagree with that. The usage was not overestimated, and that was certainly determined in the 1 year of committee hearings that I had as the sponsor of the enabling legislation. What has occurred is it's an underusage. It's not underestimated or overestimated. It's underusage of the sewer authority. And that is because this city has never implemented mandatory connection or any other type of requirement to reach the anticipated usage that the system was designed for. To this day, I still do not believe that 60% of this city is sewered. And that is why, based upon information that has been provided to me from the sewer authority over the years, that we have infrastructure, at least this particular type of infrastructure failure, which is the hydrogen sulfide, which is occurring because of underflow in the system. So having said all that, to be, again, perfectly clear, I understand and appreciate the need for this revenue bond. I am certainly in support of extending the sewers. I am the one that got elected for promising sewers when nobody was supposed to ever get elected for promising sewers. So I get it. I understand all about the sewers. I understand about the need for sewers in my ward, far more needed than most other wards. But what I cannot support is voting for something that nobody has a definition of what is required. This isn't like a recommendation, like, oh, you know, if you're a mind to, this is a requirement to execute and deliver a continuing disclosure certificate. We don't know what it is. The director of the sewer authority doesn't know what it is. We can't get a legal interpretation, a definition as to what that requirement is, and nobody else is weighing in on it. I am not going to support this because I think it is completely irresponsible to vote on this item when we don't know what that contains. It may be very simplistic. It may be a very simple answer, but I need to know what it is. Now, what I would consider, and I would respectfully request, and at the benefit of the people that we all represent and the responsibilities that we have for understanding what we vote on, I would respectfully request that we simply hold this for 3 weeks or whatever it is until the August meeting. And then